Hello and welcome to Journey the Monkey King with myself, Priva, and my friend MJ.
Yo!
We are on to chapter 44, Journey to the West. This chapter is going to contain a backstory that involves slavery and mass suicide, so...
Yay! That's out of the ordinary. It's something different.
No cannibalism. I mean,
that's definitely the first time I've dealt with slavery and mass suicide today. No, that's not true. I was listening to a podcast about cults earlier.
Oh God.
Never mind. So
yeah.
Is that, oh my God, is that your cat in the background?
Yeah, I think she wants to go to bed. Or she's just bored. She's after jumping on the desk next to me.
Our special guest for this episode is Asog, who's already said hello.
She's.
Are we still doing cat pictures as Patreon rewards? Please say yes.
Oh yeah, I've put up a couple of photos. I guess I can continue to do it whenever I remember to. So you can see photos.
She's lovely.
You can see photos of the source of that meow if you subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah.
Or follow me on Twitter, to be honest. But there's ones on the Patreon that I have not
Don't
posted on Twitter.
Don't give away the cat pics for free, Quiva.
No, there's ones on the Patreon that are not on my Twitter that are secret and exclusive.
Mysterious.
Yes.
Very mysterious.
Yeah, so anyway, this book. We're on chapter 44 of Journey to the West. And the pilgrims are on the road again, and spring has rolled around.
Spring has sprung, the grass is riz, I wonder where the birdies is.
So one day they're strolling along, enjoying the scenery, when suddenly they hear a loud cry that seemed the roar of 10,000 voices.
Okay.
Tripitaka stops his horse and asks, where the hell did that come from? Baji says it sounded like the earth splitting apart and mountains toppling. Wu Jing thinks it sounded like thunder. Wukong says they're both wrong and he's going to go have a look. He flies into the air and he sees a moated city in the distance. There's no sign of any evil auras or miasmas around it, and it seems like a nice place. There's no signs of fighting either.
I was just gonna say, first of all, no miasmas, very good sign. I don't know if we could say that for a lot of places today. Second of all, I love the difference in reaction between Baji and Wuxing there, where Baji's just like, it's this big dramatic thing, and Wuxing's just like, it's the fucking weather.
I mean, thunder is a very big dramatic thing if it's coming from nearby. But yeah, the city looks fine. But then he sees a large group of monks trying to pull a cart up a steep ridge by a beach near the city, and they are crying out in prayer to Bodhisattva King Powerful for help. Wukong flies down to have a closer look. He sees the cart is loaded with building materials, and the ridge is very tall, very steep, and very dangerous. And the monks are all dressed in rags. He thinks they must be trying to build or repair a monastery, but they can't afford to hire anyone to work on it, so they're doing it themselves. But then two young Taoists come on the scene, and they're the exact opposite of the monks. They're immaculately dressed in silks and brocaded clothes. They're definitely not short of cash. And the Buddhist monks pushing the cart are clearly terrified of them. They start redoubling their efforts as soon as they see the Taoists approaching. And Wukong decides to investigate this further before he goes back to his boss.
Yeah, smart.
So he flies down and shapeshifts into the form of a traveling Taoist of the Complete Truth Order. And he ambles up to the two Taoists and asks them, where would be the best place in the city to go beg for vegetarian food? And the two Taoists are shocked that he'd debase himself by begging. That's It's not how things are done around here. Daoists are held in very high regard in the Kart Slow Kingdom. From the ordinary citizens to rich merchants and the civil and military officials, and even the king himself are all devoted to the Tao.
Yeah, I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah. Wukong asked them, has a Taoist become king? But they explained that 20 years ago, the region was struck by a very severe drought. Everyone in the kingdom was burning incense and praying for rain, but to no avail. And then one day, three Taoist immortals descended from the sky and saved the country. They're called the Tiger Strength Great Immortal, the Deer Strength Great Immortal, and the Goat Strength Great Immortal. And they can summon rain, turn water into oil, or turn stone into gold. Wukong asks, very politely, if he would be able to have an audience with these great immortals. And the two Taoists say that wouldn't be difficult at all. The two of them are, quote, they're, quote, bosom disciples. But they do need to take care of some business first. They're here to do a roll call of the Buddhist monks to make sure that they're all working. And Wukong asks why the Buddhists...
That's some direct supervision there, first of all.
Yeah. You said first of all, so I was expecting something else.
Yeah, no, there was something. It's floated away. I'm sorry. It's floated away. I quit smoking. I'm just going to be very stupid for about 15 minutes, and then something's going to happen, which is going to really piss me off, and then I'm going to shout about something irrelevant for another five, so.
Okay, good. Be good podcast material, hopefully.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
So Wukong asked them, why would the Buddhist monks be working for Taoists? And they explained that after the Taoist immortals finally ended the drought, the king was furious at the Buddhists for being useless. And he had all the Buddhist monasteries wrecked. He revoked the monks' travel rescripts, barred them from leaving the kingdom, and handed them over to the Taoists to serve as bondsmen, which is a, slaves.
Here we have our slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'm loving, well, I'm not loving, there's that very, you're useless, you're not working, you're not earning, you're not, why would you beg for food? Why would you degrade yourself to that?
Yeah,
sort of starting to believe that the author of this book, Quiva, does not like Taoists very much.
Maybe. You may be
feel honest, like maybe, that's a central theme, maybe.
we'll see how you feel by the end of the chapter. See if it changes your mind.
Yeah. So, and anyone who's listening, no, it has not taken me 44 chapters to get to that. I just haven't remarked on it, so fuck. Yeah. I love all our listeners, and you should pay for Quiva's cat pics.
So now the Buddhist monks tend the fires, sweep the grounds, and guard the gates of the Taoist Abbey, and they're having them finish some construction work that needs doing. So Wukong decides to make up a sob story. Crocodile tears roll down his face as he tells them he has a secondary motivation in being a traveling Taoist. He is looking for a missing relative, an uncle who was a Buddhist monk who disappeared many years ago after going to beg for alms during a famine. So he thinks maybe his uncle is trapped among these workers. But the Taoists are happy to help, though.
Okay, but...
Oh, sorry.
Are they?
Oh yeah, yeah. So
are they happy to help?
Yeah, they'll let Wukong do their work for the morning and do the roll call. And if his uncle's name is on the roll, they can arrange for him to be released from bondage.
Okay, that's anything to get out of a really boring job.
Yeah, and you know he's a Taoist. They can do him a favor. What's one slave?
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you've got presumably a lot of them.
Yeah, there's 500 of them.
Sorry, had you already said that?
No, I hadn't. I hadn't. But there's 500 of them. So Wukong goes to the monks and they bow to him and announce that, oh, we're all working, everyone's here, it's fine, we're all doing the work. And Wukong sees how terrified they are of him, just because he's dressed up as a Taoist, and he thinks that they really must have been abused terribly. He also laughs to himself over this and muses that if a real Taoist approached them, they'd probably die of fright. And he tells them to get up. He's not here to inspect them. He just wants to find a relative. And all of them lift their heads out to be seen, hoping against hope that Wukong would pick them out as his relative and take them away. So Wukong looks at them for a while and bursts into laughter. He calls them immature, and they ask him why he's laughing at them. And he says, "You want to know why I'm laughing? I'm laughing at how immature you monks are. It was because of your having been born under an unlucky star that your parents, for fear of your bringing misfortune upon them or not bringing with you additional brothers and sisters, turned you out of the family and made you priests. How could you then not follow the tree jewels and not revere the laws of Buddha? Why aren't you reading the sutras and chanting the litanies? Why do you serve the Taoists and allow them to exploit you as bondsmen and slaves?" He's not very sensitive about this.
No, no. I mean, he is trying to incite something, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, gather up and overthrow your oppressors. Go for it.
Oh, no, he's got to do that himself. He's got to do that himself. He's not going to rile them up to do it.
Yeah. He won't delegate.
So the monks explain their own version of the story of the drought. It's largely the same, but they put the blame entirely on the three Taoist leaders for their predicament. They don't blame the king himself. They say that they deceived our ruler and persuaded him to tear down our monasteries and revoke our travel rescripts, forbidding us from returning to our native regions. He would not, moreover, permit us to serve even in any secular capacity except as slaves in the household of these immortal elders. And they go on to explain that any new monks who enter the region are also seized and enslaved. There's a cash reward for anyone who captures an escaped monk. And there's a
monk bounty?
Yep, there's a monk bounty, and there's portraits of all the monks displayed in every village in the kingdom so that they can't escape and pass themselves off as ordinary people, which is a fair achievement considering there's effort. Fucking 500 of them.
There's 500 of them. Photography has not been invented yet.
No, someone had to paint all of those.
Yeah. I mean,
someone had to paint each individual copy to put in every village of all 500 of them.
Oh, good God! Yeah.
Well, I guess they would have had printing. I mean, maybe they made like woodcuts of them. I don't know.
That would make a lot more sense, but still, 500 woodcuts.
But even people who have just gone bald naturally are having difficulty with officials. So Wukong says, exact quote, "In that case, you might as well give up and die."
Yeah, well, it's blunt. It's, again, not very sensitive. It's very on brand.
Yeah, and they tell him that most of them have. There used to be 2,000 of them, and there's 500 Whoa. Now.
Okay, that's fucking dark. Okay.
Yeah, and the ones that weren't worked to death directly have taken their own lives, and they say that the ones who are still alive are only here because their suicide attempts repeatedly failed.
That's wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How does he take this?
Wukong tells them that they're lucky. Heaven must want to prolong your lives.
Oh, of course he does.
And they say back to him, surely you meant prolong our torments.
There's that also too. It's an angle you could take on it.
So all they have to live on is thin gruel, and they have no shelter at all. They just sleep on the beach in the open air. But they do have, as it turns out, some divine protection. At night, the six gods of darkness, the six gods of light, and the guardians of the monasteries protect them, and have also been the ones like stopping their suicide attempts.
Oof, so they're on 24-hour spiritual suicide watch.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And they've been told in their dreams that a holy monk is coming from the Great Tong on a pilgrimage to the Western Heaven, and his disciple, the great sage equal to heaven, is incredibly powerful and also a person of rectitude and kindness, one who will avenge the injustices of the world, assist those who are needy and oppressed, comfort the orphans and the widows, and they are to wait for his arrival.
Oh, fuck. Ah, fuck. Imagine that. Imagine you're promised that. And you're in the pits of utter despair. I'm willing to bet that a lot of people here have felt it, you know, that place where you're just on the edge of that real scary calm. And, you know, the spirits come and say, you know, we're going to send you this messiah. We're going to send you this person who's going to fix it all. And he's so great. Then fucking Wukong shows up.
Yeah, it is all in all an incredibly inaccurate description of the Monkey King.
Yeah, I mean, if you squint, he accidentally does some of those things occasionally.
I feel like it's meant to not only to be a message to these people, but also like a message to Wukong himself when he hears this, like, you know.
And we're fucking watching you.
this is what you're expected to live up to. This is what you're meant to do. This is what you're meant to be learning on this pilgrimage.
Yeah, he kind of needs it spelt out, doesn't he?
Like, I don't think it's, you know, it's, or I think it must be deliberate on the behalf of the author to have Wukong acting so callously to these people. And in general, and then immediately be met with this like expectation of him.
Yeah, no, obviously, I'm just looking, I can't help but look at it from the monk's perspective.
Yeah.
Like, that's this fair. Guy, this fucking guy, this is the savior, this is why you've been watching over me, telling me not to, or physically preventing me from killing myself and ending my endless torment and servitude. From which I see more no escape. This cunt. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cosmic joke, and there's a cosmic joke that you're not even supposed to be in on. Where it's not even cruelty directed specifically at you. It's them fucking with some other guy in their grand divine plan, who knows what the gods and the immortals do, and you just happen to be there.
Yeah.
God damn it. Please tell me good things happen to these monks.
Yeah, so Wukong decides he's going to save them all, so he goes back to the two Taoists. And they ask him, did he find his relative? And he tells them that all 500 of them are his relatives. And he demands them all to be let go. And the two Taoists think he's
my
mad.
My brothers.
Yeah. They were willing to write a fake death certificate to let him smuggle out one of the monks who was his uncle. But they can't release all of their slaves. They won't let them all go. So Wukong smashes their heads in.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
it's his kind of response to a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, it's I'm very desensitized to it at this point. The child murder was something else. That just sort of came out of nowhere. But, you know, the random murder, it's just like, it's not even a content warning anymore. It's just, you know.
So the monks on the beach do see this in the distance, and they are terrified. They think they'll be blamed for the deaths and there'll be reprisals. So they ask Wukong to go into the city with them so that he can like confess his guilt for the murder to officials so they won't get blamed. Wukong tells them to stop shouting. He's not really a Taoist. He is, in fact, Pilgrim Sun Wukong. I've come here especially to save you.
First of all, lies. And
yes.
Please tell me at least one of them reacts with really this fucking guy.
No, they react by saying, you are not Sun Wukong. The gold star Venus told us in our dreams over and over what he looks like, and it's not you. So Wukong is both pleased and annoyed by this. He likes that the gods are going around telling people how awesome he is. He's not particularly fond of the fact that they're describing his true form to people.
Right. Yeah, that's a privacy issue. I get that.
That's definitely a GDPR violation.
It absolutely is, or whatever there is in this period.
So he decides to have a little joke of this. So he says, oh, you're right, I'm not the real Pilgrim Son, I'm just his disciple having a bit of fun. And then he points off in the distance and goes, look over there, there's the real Pilgrim Son. And then when all of them turn their back, he shapeshifts back into his true form. So when they look back, they
really
see...
Does look over there.
Yeah, literally just look over there. So he
suddenly
changes.
Hey, look, a distraction!
Yeah, basically. So when they turn back, they recognize the real Sun Wukong, and they drop to their knees. They beg him, they call him father, and they ask him to avenge the wrongs done to them.
And he made a start. He smashed those guys' heads in.
Yeah, and he makes a big dramatic gesture again. He grabs the cart that they were pulling up the cliff, and he smashes it to pieces, and he tosses all the contents into a ravine.
What were the contents?
It was just building materials.
Ah, okay. I thought they were going to turn around and go like, well, we were hauling. That was food. That was all of our food.
No. It's it was just building materials. The Daoists were making them build an abbey. The monks keep following him. And he tells them to leave him alone. He's going to go confront the Daoists himself, but they're like terrified of being left alone and caught without protection.
Yeah, where are they gonna go? And I mean, apparently everywhere has their images, which again, just the organization involved there. I mean, you never have to hand it to slavers and sectarian murderers, but
again, it's such a modern thing, actually, of the detail that they basically have their passports like stripped off them. The term that they use in the here is traveler script, but it's basically their passports, which is, you know, the kind of thing you associate with you see in kind of modern slavery practices in a lot of places as used as a method to control people.
Take the documents, any proof of ID.
Not something you'd expect in a story this old, or not something I would have expected, at least. So Wukong does offer them some protection. He plucks out some hairs and he chews them up into tiny pieces, and he gives one piece of hair to each monk, and he tells them to put it under the nail of their fourth finger and make a fist. And if they're in trouble, they can hold up their fist and cry out, great sage equal to heaven, to someone Wukong to protect them.
So he gave him each a baby Wukong, basically.
Yeah. So
in fairness, pretty miraculous.
Yeah, what actually happens is one of the braver monks immediately decides to test this. And what actually happens is that it summons a clone of Wukong in front of him. And dozens of them immediately start trying it out too.
Yay, look what this thing does.
And Wukong,
well, I mean, now they've got a fucking army
to
walk into town with, so...
Yeah, Wukong tells them to dismiss the clone. All they have to do is say the word cease, and they try that out as well. So Wukong tells them not to go too far, but to listen out for news from the city for a proclamation that they're allowed to return. Once that's published, they can go find him again and give him back his hairs.
Why would you at that point, though?
Would you want to piss off the hyper murder monkey? If you want the hair back, give him the hair back.
I'm gonna be honest, I'd probably try a swindle there. It's like, if you only need like a little bit of hair, how much hair do you really need? And also, could you not find some other hair? He's not gonna miss them. He has a lot of hairs. He has an infinite supply of hyper murder monkeys, whereas I am a monk who has recently gotten out of a very tough situation. You know, and even if I am safe in the city, no guarantee that the surrounding countryside is going to be welcoming. Most of my friends are now dead. I feel like there are some situations I could be caught in where I would think, you know what I could use now? I could use a hyper murder monkey.
I can't fault your logic.
Yeah.
But
what?
I would question whether the clone of Wukong would continue to be cooperative after you swindle the real Wukong.
True. Well, what you could try doing there is, you know, asking why the real, if it does act in character, you could try asking why the real Wukong should have all the glory when most of his major battles he has been fought with you guys. Why does this guy get to walk around with his big swinging dick and take all the credit?
That would probably work.
I feel like that might work. Yeah. And anyway, I don't have the means to steal a murder monkey, so.
You could try sneaking into Dublin Zoo one night.
That would be very cruel.
Anyway, in the meantime, Tripitaka has gotten fed up of waiting for Wukong to come back. And he tells Baji to lead the way forward westward. And they end up running into Wukong on the road with a dozen or so monks with him who haven't departed. And Wukong fills them in on the whole situation. And the pilgrims head into the city with a few of the freed monks in tow to retake their monastery. So everyone on the streets avoids them as they make their way to the Wisdom Depth Monastery. And when they arrive, Tripitaka pays homage to an image of Buddha and they set about cleaning up the place and making dinner. And
get them fed, priorities.
Yeah, they have dinner and they actually decide just to tuck in for the night. The plan is to confront the Taoist immortals in the morning. But Wukong can't sleep. He's too excited to get in a fight, I think, tomorrow. And in the middle of the night, he hears the sounds of pipes and gongs nearby, and he goes to have a look.
I mean, he hasn't murdered anyone for like a good 6 hours.
Yeah, yeah. So there's bright lamps and torches visible to the south, and he flies down to have a look. And it's the Taoists in the Three Pure Ones Abbey down the road having a ceremony. The three big shot immortals are there, and there's about 700 or 800 other Taoists beating drums, burning incense, and praying. So Wukong decides to grab his two brothers and have some fun. He wakes them up and they get dressed and fly back to the abbey, and Wukong summons a whirlwind to blow out the lamps. Just generally disrupt the ceremony and clear everyone out. So all the Taoists head to bed because of the bad weather. And once they're all gone, the three pilgrims descend. And Baji immediately starts trying to shove a cake into his mouth that was left out. And Wukong swats his hand away with the iron rod. And he tells him to sit down and eat with some proper manners. There's no need to be so rude. And Baji points out they're literally stealing this food. Like,
I'm not often on the side of Baji, but yeah.
So Wukong looks around and he wonders aloud, who are the three bodhisattvas that they have statues of on display? And Baji laughs at him and he gets to correct Wukong on something for once. Those aren't bodhisattvas. Those are statues of the three pure ones. These are the kind of the highest trinity of gods in Taoism. And the names, there's other different translations of these names, but the translations that they use in the novel here by Anthony Yu, or the translation by Anthony Yu, is the celestial worthy of commencement, the Taoist lord of numinous treasures, and the most high aged lord Lao Tzu.
He's making a comeback?
It's just a statue of him.
Okay.
So Wukong decides for some fun they should take the form of the three pure ones in order to enjoy the meal. So Baji climbs up onto the platform the statues are on and shoves Lao Tzu to the floor with his snout and transforms into him to take his place. Wukong turns into the celestial worthy of commencement and Wu Jing the Taoist lord of numinous treasures. Baji starts to gorge himself on some buns, but Wukong tells him to hold on one more minute. He wants to get rid of the statues first. And he said he passed a door on the way that smelled, there was a very bad smell coming out of it, and it must be what Wukong calls a bureau of five grain transmigration.
What?
It's the latrine.
Okay.
The toilet. No,
I got that far. Just a bureau was confusing me.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It's just like a little weird euphemism. Like Baji even kind of laughs at how silly a name he's giving it. It's like, I'm pretty sure this is not a normal term. This is just Wukong doing a silly name.
Fair enough.
So they dump the statues of the highest and most holy gods of Taoism into a latrine. And Baji offers a mockery of a prayer to them as he does it.
I'm sure there'll be no consequences at all for this.
So some shit splashes up on his robe as he does it as well, which is lovely.
Yay.
So after that, the three finally sit down and start stuffing their faces. Wukong doesn't actually like cooked food all that much, so he mostly just sticks to picking at the fruit and keeping the other two company while they scoff down all the buns, rice, dumplings, cakes, and steamed pastries on offer. I do like the occasional like characterization coming back to Wukong just being literally being a monkey.
Yeah, he doesn't forget his roots.
So after they're done, they sit and chat for a while, letting the food digest a bit. But in the middle of the night, a young Taoist, just as he's laying down to rest, realizes that he left his bell in the hall and he'll get in trouble if it's lost. So he throws on a shirt and quickly heads back to the hall, groping around in the dark until he eventually finds the bell. But as he's getting up to go, he hears breathing noises. And he's frightened and tries to run out of the hall, but slips on a lychee seed, falls on his arse and breaks the bell. And the Oof. Three pilgrims were trying to keep quiet in the dark as they watch him do this. but Baji can't hold back his laughter anymore when he watches him fall over.
It's happened to the best of us.
Yeah. So the Taoist is terrified at this strange laugh in the middle of the dark hall. And he runs off falling over himself until he finds the chamber of the three grand masters. And he bangs on the door and he tells them about the noises in the main hall. So the three immortals decide to go investigate what kind of creature is in their abbey. And if you want to find out what happens when the three immortals meet the three pilgrims, you'll have to wait for the next chapter. So do you think the author might have a thing against Taoism then, maybe?
yeah I think there's a
bit of a rivalry there,
backdrop there, little bit.
It's because there are Taoists who like end up who are reasonable as well, and who are like fine characters, I guess. They tend to get into conflict with Taoists, but like even the the Lord equal to Earth was meant to be this big Taoist guy, and they obviously get in a fight with him, but he might have been gone a bit far in trying to mete out punishment, but it was completely Wukong's fault.
Oh yeah, no, if anything bad that happens usually is.
And they end up being friends in the end.
It is an interesting one. Anyway, we shall find out what happens when the three great immortals meet these guys.
I'm sure they will get along perfectly fine, and everyone will have a reasonable discussion and be friends.
Cool. Okay. Patreon, social media, and show notes.
Yes.
All the rest of it.
I did put cat my photos of my cat on Patreon. If you want to,
they
want
are
to see.
Up there. She is a gorgeous cat, and we love her very much.
She's asleep next to me on the desk right now.
You could be seeing a photo of that right now instead of just thinking about it.
I will
just have to give us money.
I will take a photo of this as we speak.
We love her.
So if you want to see a photo of a sleeping cat, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/monkeykingpod and sign up.
Do we
There's
have a
no,
cat
it's so difficult to find photos of cats on the internet. You're not going to get them anywhere else.
Yes, but it's different when it's a cat of somebody you know. When it's a real person cat. Or it's just like my friend Becky keeps sending me pictures of her cat Teddy, and that's worth 20,000 pictures of cats I can find online. I don't want to see the online cats. I want to see Teddy. She's great. Oh. Yeah. Asog is also great.
Okay, MJ, check WhatsApp.
She's sleeping.
It's happening right
such
now.
A skittish little thing. It's a real-time sleepy cat. And I appreciate that very much.
Alright.
Bye.
Bye.